Very warm welcome to one and all. It gives me great joy to welcome you to this morning's worship service and a continuation of our study of the Gospel of Luke, that as we have seen last week, how Jesus preached on the parable of the soils to remind us how we ought to hear the Word of God, that we should prepare our hearts every Lord's Day to come ready to receive the Word of God, so that the Word of God, like the seed, will fall on good soil. And this morning, likewise, God has a message for all of us that He wants to calm our storms of life. The most famous shipwreck that many of us know and has been popularized by the movie, The Titanic, that happened in the year 1912, resulting in more than 1,500 fatalities when the British ocean liner went down, hitting the iceberg. Stories were told of the millionaires who refused to board the lifeboats before the children and the women, and they valiantly died when the ship sank. Fast forward 102 years, people were less valiant and less gentlemanly. We have the 2014 Sewol ferry that sank on its way to Jeju Island, bringing more than 300 high school students down into the ocean, drowned. The captain and crew of the sinking ferry took the first Coast Guard boat out of the ferry that was tilting dangerously at 60 degrees. The most distressing and heartbreaking about this tragedy was the loss of 300 young Korean high school students who were obediently listening to the instructions of the captain of the boat to stay where they are, in their life jackets, in their respective cabins. They were told not to move and not to make their way to the upper deck where they could have been saved. There was enough time for the ferry, there was enough time before the ferry sank for them to be rescued, because there were helicopters, there were lifeboats. On the ship, they were not even launched. There were so many lifeboats on the ship that was not even launched. So this particular captain and the crew, they were rightly sentenced to life imprisonment, many of them, and many years imprisonment for their failure to take care of the lives on the ship. And of course, in Philippines as well, this was a terrible disaster that killed more than 4,300 in 1987. But even this is eclipsed by the greatest maritime disaster in World War II, 1945, when the German ship Wilhelm Gustav sank in 1945, taking with it more than 9,400 fatalities. One of the reasons why I never like to take a cruise, right? Or boats. The fear of drowning. On top of that, I don't swim, right? I can't swim, right? I'm trying to learn swimming, but not very successful, unfortunately. Even if you're successful in swimming, many of those who participated in the rescue efforts of Sewol Ferry almost drowned because the currents in the sea were so strong. Even if you're a very, very good swimmer, it doesn't mean that you can battle the storms on the sea. And that really is the lesson that we want to learn today. The fear of many of us is that the storms of life will come into our lives. And they will come. And they will come into our lives. The question is, how do we battle? How do we cope with those storms of life? And this is what we want to learn today. Like, it is our Lord Jesus Christ who will be the one constant person who will calm our storms of life. As the disciples were caught in a storm and gripped by the fear of sinking and drowning in the Sea of Galilee, Jesus calmed the storm and taught the disciples precious lessons of who Jesus is amidst the storms of life. And thus, they ought to have faith in Jesus. The lessons that the disciples learned are the same lessons that we need to learn when we encounter and face the storms of our lives. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Now, there are several parallel passages in the other synoptic gospels. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, a similar account of this incident when Jesus and his disciples went across the ship of the Sea of Galilee on a ship, and they encountered a huge storm, and there was the fear of sinking and drowning. So you have that in Mark chapter 4, as well as Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. And I'm going to give you a little bit more details from Mark chapter 4, verse 35, compared to the Luke 8 passage from time to time, because the account in Mark gives a little bit more details than is available in Luke chapter 8. So they went into the ship, and the Mark's account tells us that it was evening. It was evening. It was probably the end of a busy day. As we have seen thus far, as we follow Jesus and his disciples, preaching through the various cities and villages around the Sea of Galilee, in the various cities, coastal cities, as well as the small villages, they were thronged by many people who wanted to hear the teaching of Jesus. But more importantly, most of them were there out of curiosity, having heard of the fame of Jesus working the miracles and healing the sick, and the people who were sick wanted to be healed by Jesus. So there were multitudes who were crowding around Jesus and his disciples. And he had a full day of ministry, just like any other day. Right? So at the end of the day, he wanted to rest, and he wanted them all to rest as well. And they decided to send away the multitude, verse 36 of Mark 4, to take a boat to go across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And there were also with him other little ships. And this little other little ships is only recorded in Mark's gospel. And this tells us that there were others who were trying to follow Jesus, right? So when they saw Jesus going on a ship to the other side, they too wanted to follow Jesus and his disciples. Now, this is a modern-day picture of this lake, or what we call the Sea of Galilee, often described in the Bible, in the Gospels, as the Sea of Galilee, which is really not a sea because it is a freshwater lake. But it is a very, very large freshwater lake. As you can see, the distant mountains, right? All around is surrounded by different mountain ranges. And therefore, that is going to have, that geography is going to have an impact on the kind of climate that happens on the Sea of Galilee. So this is also called Lake Tiberias or Lake Kinnereth or Sea of Galilee. This is the lowest level freshwater lake in the world, about 600 feet below sea level. And that again has an impact on the pressure differences between the lake surface as well as the mountain top from the mountain ranges surrounding the lake. And because of that, it is going to cause huge storms on the Sea of Galilee with almost no notice. Just at an instant, the weather on the Sea of Galilee can change very drastically. For those who know of the geography of Israel, of those especially who have been to Israel, will know that there are two big bodies of water in Israel. One in the north is called the Sea of Galilee, and that is going to be the beginning where Jesus had the beginning of his ministry, preaching around the cities around the Sea of Galilee. And that's a fresh water lake with rivers or water feeding from the mountains. And that is going to be joined by another body of water called the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is not a freshwater lake, but a salty water lake, right? And it's going to be fed minerals and salt from the surrounding land as well as from the River Jordan, right? The Dead Sea has no outlet. It only just keeps taking and taking, and it has very, very high salt content, such that fishes cannot survive in this Dead Sea, although there are small, tiny microbes and organisms that do survive in this very harsh environment. Right, so you have the Sea of Galilee and you have the Dead Sea in the south. And Jesus says, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. So this is where Galilee is, on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, and going across, taking a boat across, to the southern region, the region called Gerasenes. In verse 26, they arrive at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Now, you notice that there's a difference in spelling, right? So you have the Gadarenes, right, which is related to the area or the city of Gadara, which is 10 kilometers southeast of the southern end of the Sea of Galilee, so to the further south. All right, whereas the Gerasenes, region of Gerasenes, refer to the city of Gerasa or Gersa. And Matthew called the country of this area of the Gadarenes because of Gadara. And you have some of the other Gospels that will refer to this area as Gerasenes. All right? So it's referring to the same area. So they were going from north to the south. Now, what is the distance? How far is it to sail across the Sea of Galilee? Actually, it's quite a large lake. Right? If you're measuring it across, the width is about 13 kilometers, and north to south is about 21 kilometers. The surface area, about 166 square kilometers, about a quarter of the size of Singapore. Right. A quarter the size of Singapore is not a small lake, right? And because of the storms that often occur on the Sea of Galilee, it's probably the reason why it's called the Sea. And also by tradition, it was called the Sea of Galilee. All right, verse 23, but as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Now, you have the Mark's account in chapter 4, verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, just in this short verse, it gives us a sense of the anxiety and the panic that the disciples were feeling. One moment they were sailing calmly. You can almost imagine, like some of us take the cruises into the sunset, right? In the evening time, the beautiful scene of the sunset, right? Many of us who are tourists will be out on the deck taking pictures of the beautiful sunset, right? Of each other and couples and so on, right? So a beautiful quiet scene. After a hard day of labor, Jesus was sleeping in the ship, in the boat, when there suddenly came a storm of wind on the lake. And that happens because of pressure differences between one of the lowest lakes in the world and the high mountain ranges, and also the deep ravines between the mountain ranges that causes the pressure differences and the temperature differences. And therefore, strong gusts of wind are known to come down very quickly upon the surface of the Sea of Galilee. This is another picture of this. You can see the mountain ranges that intersect and the sharp valleys that would feed water into the lake, but at the same time would also bring sudden gusts of wind and gales of great forces that is going to cause the storms that the disciples are experiencing now. The words that are used, a storm of wind, the ship filled with water, the ship is now full of filling up with water, with wave upon waves of water coming into the boat, and they are in serious jeopardy. Now, these are not words that you want to hear when you are enjoying dinner on a cruise ship, right? With waves crashing onto the boat. The last thing you want is to see that the ship is listing a little bit to the left or right, or rocking very violently, and then you wonder or not whether or not you are safe. Question, of course, for us is, are you in a storm of life, just like the disciples? They are in serious jeopardy of sinking, because with every wave of water coming into the ship is getting lower and lower, and it's in danger of sinking. I experienced this terror many years ago when I brought my family to one of the Thailand resorts, and we went on an excursion to a neighboring island, and the weather suddenly turned rather gray and stormy, and the sea as well was getting a little bit choppy. But of course, unknown to us, we just went onto the boat that we were told. We bought a ticket, we went on the boat, and we were supposed to go to a neighboring island. When the boat, the organizer of the trip actually asked us, actually, the weather is not very good. Do you all want to continue with the journey? Because the weather is not very good. No, with their limited English. All right? They're trying to tell you that the weather is not very good. So it may be a little bit dangerous to go on this boat trip to the neighboring island. Do you all want to cancel? Right? We may not be able to travel safely. Now, a number of us were rather disappointed, and many of us insisted that we wanted to go, including myself. As Singaporeans, right? Having paid the money, we must get our money's worth. I know some of you are saying, so foolish, huh? Yeah, actually, I kind of regretted that decision. Because when we got on that journey, it was scary because the rain started coming down and the sea was getting rather choppy and the boat didn't look like it was very safe. And it seems to be also slightly overloaded with a number of people. Right? So I told myself, this is the last time I'm going to go on this kind of thing. Never again, right? Next time when the boat owner or the organizer asks you whether you want to go because the weather is not so good, I'll say, no, I don't want. Yeah. The storms of life are scary, isn't it? I think many of us have gone through our storms. It may not be an actual boat trip, but we have all gone through our storms. Whether it be some of us who have gone through the pandemic lockdown in China, who have to escape in a very difficult way, or many of us who have gone through serious illnesses that threaten our life, and we know that we are almost at the point of death, or even like for myself, when I had to experience the premature birth of my first son, right? At 6.5 months, he was born. And the doctor told us in the hospital that he could be born blind, he could have a hole in the heart, his lungs are not fully developed, he may stop breathing, which he did when he was in the incubator in the hospital a few times. Each time he stopped breathing, the nurses go there and slap him, wake up, right? And he continue breathing, kind of, right? Yeah. So we all have gone through our storms of life and we experience the reality of God when God answers our prayers. And that really is the purpose for which Christ have brought the storms of life into our life as well as in the lives of the disciples. Because there are lessons of faith that we cannot otherwise learn in times of peace and prosperity. In times when everything is good, right, smooth sailing, you will never learn to exercise faith and to trust God. And God wants us to go through those storms of life and to learn to pray and to rely on Him. Because that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is not just asking for things from God, but prayer is bending our own will to obey the will of God. And that is what the disciples are going to learn in this crisis of faith. And verse 24 says, they came to Him, the disciples, and awoke Him. Wake up, Master! We perish. We're going to die, and you're still sleeping. It's kind of like chiding him, right? How can you still be sleeping when we are going to die? Don't you know we're going to die? Right? When was the last time you faced a panic attack and a crisis? In Mark's gospel, it was even clearer. The kind of panic they were in. He was in the hinder part of the ship, Jesus, asleep on a pillow, right? The contrast. We are trying to bail out the water to stop us from sinking. And there you are sleeping comfortably. They awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They kind of chided Jesus, right? Don't you care that we're going to die? God, you don't care for us. Isn't that how we often feel when we are in times of crisis? We cry out to God, God, you don't care for me. You don't know how I'm feeling. I'm so sad. I'm so troubled. I'm so depressed. I'm crying every day before I sleep. Where were you when I needed you? We are going through all those struggles and depression, and we are questioning God. We are lashing out at God every day in those crises, panic attacks. Don't you care that we perish? Does Jesus care? Oh, yes. Jesus cares for us always. Where is Jesus on September 11? Where is Jesus when I needed him? Where is Jesus when I'm in a crisis, in the storms of life? Jesus is where he always has been. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. He's still governing the whole universe. He is still in control, even when we go through the storms of life. Yes, he wants us to go through the storms in reliance of him. But very often, we don't. Because when times are good, we forget that we have a God. And we start getting lax in our spiritual daily exercises. We forget to read the Word of God. We forget to pray. We forget that we are Christians, that we are the people of God. We are made to be the salt and light of the world. We forget to bear a testimony for Christ. And we live our life as if we're going to live forever in this world. And we just live our life just enjoying ourselves, going on travels. Nothing wrong with traveling. But if your life is just thinking about, well, I want to earn enough money so that I can travel to another destination, tick off the bucket list. Just traveling. Enjoying ourselves, pleasure after pleasure. Then I put it to you that you have not understood why God has created us. And he has created us for this purpose, so that we may, yes, enjoy him, but we may glorify him forever. And how can we glorify him unless we are serving him faithfully all the days of our life and not just thinking about the pleasures of this world? If you're just enjoying the pleasures of this world, you're no different from a non-Christian. So we've got to ask ourselves, what are you living for? Right? Many Christians live like non-Christians. We live for the pleasures of this world. Then you are no different from a non-Christian. But as a believer, as a child of God who understands that God's will for us is to glorify him, is to serve him faithfully, then our plan every day is very different. Our plan every day is, Lord, what do you want me to do to serve you? Right? What can I do to be of use in your kingdom and want to serve you faithfully all the days of my life? And so Jesus was awakened by the disciples. He rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. In Mark, it says that he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Now, literally, he is saying to the wind, be silent, right? Don't be howling and making so much noise, right? And to the waves, be muzzled, zip. Right? Don't make noise. Right? Okay. So this is what Jesus did to the wind and the waves. Now, we can say to the wind and the waves, be silent and be muzzled, and nothing will happen. But not Jesus. Right? Right? Jesus just said, be silent, be muzzled, keep quiet, shut up. Right? And they were immediately silenced. Mark 4:39, and the wind ceased in the aorist tense, which means it stopped suddenly. The wind just stopped suddenly. It's miraculous. It is a miracle because the Lord of creation told the wind to stop. He said, "Diam, keep quiet, right? Shut up." And the wind just kept quiet. And there was a great calm. The waves were suddenly still. There was a huge storm, huge waves tossing the boat from side to side, and water was just coming into the boat. And the next moment, after Jesus rebuked the waves were still. And the Sea of Galilee was just calm. An extraordinary miracle had happened. And the disciples realized that. The first lesson we learn is the power of Christ. Asleep one moment, awake the next, and he spoke to the wind, be mute, be muzzled, and to the waves as well. And it shows us that immediately there was a calm. It tells us about the power and authority of Christ as the Lord of creation. Remember, this is still the beginning of the ministry, the public ministry of Jesus. And he's going everywhere from place to place. And he's reminding the disciples who ought to have known that Jesus is indeed no ordinary person. They have seen the miracles that Jesus has done in every village, in every city, around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had performed all these great miracles to prove that he was no ordinary person, no ordinary man, but he was the God-man. Fully God, fully man. He is the Lord of creation, created heavens and the earth. And he has power over the sickness, over demons, and also over creation. The second purpose that Christ had was to bring a storm into the disciples' life in order to bring them into a greater calm. He came down from heaven into this world, this sorry world, to bring calm into our storms of life. Why did Christ come into this world? He came in order to be the Savior of the world, to take away our sin, and to give us peace with God, peace with one another, and a new abundant life. The life that God intended Adam to have and Eve to have. But unfortunately, with the fall of man, all of us were living the storms of life. You know, very often it's because of sin. Of ourselves and the sin of other people, that we are tossed into the storms of life. And Christ has come to take us away from this topsy-turvy world of sin into a world of calm, a world of peace, a world where we can live the abundant life that God intended all of us to have. And of course, thirdly, is the lesson of how do we handle the storms of life. Verse 25, Jesus asked them, where is your faith? And in Mark chapter 4, verse 40, he asked them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? How is it that ye have no faith? The disciples have not yet grasped the significance of Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, and as the Lord of creation, the Creator of heavens and the earth, with His special ability to perform miracles and to heal those who are sick. And they were rebuked by Jesus, why are you so scared? Don't you know who I am? Haven't you seen the miracles that I have done? Haven't you heard my teaching that I've told you over and over again that I am indeed the Messiah, that I have come to be the Savior of the world? Why do you still not get it? And that is us. Many of us still don't get it. We know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We have trusted in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. But when the first storm of life hits us, we are like the disciples. We are so scared. We are so fearful. If we truly know Jesus as our Savior and Lord, He is our Master, then we should have complete trust and faith in Him, that indeed He is the one who can see us through the storms of life. And indeed He is the one who has brought the storms of life into our life for a purpose, so that we may learn lessons, that we may grow spiritually, that we may learn to exercise our faith while we were going through the storms of life, to walk by faith, not by fear, and not by sight. And that is what Jesus wants to teach us, that we can only face the storms of our life by faith in Christ alone. That every day we need to rely on Jesus. And how can we rely on Jesus? By growing in Christ. And that is why our church has been embarking on this study of the Word. Right? After every Lord's Day worship service, growing, right? We need to grow. We need to grow spiritually so that when the storms of life hits us, we know that God had intended for us to learn lessons and for us to grow spiritually. And we need to grow. And in the process, we learn more and more about Jesus. And the disciples were afraid, a different kind of afraid in this case. They were in awe of this man. And they were saying one to another in verse 25, "What manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him." And in verse 41 of Mark chapter 4, it says, they feared exceedingly. They were so in awe of God. Just like Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw God and the throne of God, he was just gripped with fear, with awe, with this reverential fear. Who am I? I'm an unholy person. How can I meet this holy God, this great man, this supreme being, this almighty God, the Creator, who is commanding even the winds and the waves to obey him? Who is this? Who is this? Why should the disciples be so afraid of Jesus? Because they know that they are in the presence. They are in the presence of God, their Creator, the Almighty God, the Savior of the world, the God-man. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And all those lessons that they have learned from Jesus in the past are coming back to them when the calm comes into the Sea of Galilee and into their lives. They realize that they were so foolish to be afraid, that if Christ is with them, they know they ought to be safe. And finally, the lesson 4 is that we must praise Him. We must worship Him. We are not just in awe of Him, but we must come to His throne to worship Him and to pray to Him every day of our lives. You know, if the disciples were never brought into the storm, they would never have praised Him to the same extent. And it's the same with us. After we have gone through the storm in our life, when we look back at our storm, we realize that it was God who has seen us through our storm. It was God who had brought us through the difficult moments, the trials. And we know that we can trust this God. We know that this is the God who will walk with us all the days of our life. If we can go through that storm, we can go through another storm that will come. And finally, there will be bigger storms, our final sickness, and even our death. That even as we go through the bigger storms of our life, Christ will be with us. And of course, the question to us this morning is, Christ on board your ship? Are you even on the same ship as Jesus? Is Christ walking with you? We will face many storms of life. We cannot escape the storms of life. But like the children's song, Bible song teaches us, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Indeed, we know that we will encounter the storms of life. But we know that when Jesus is with us, we can go through the storms of life. And Jesus has come to this world to endure the greatest storm for you and me, so that we might be spared the greatest storm of hell, of condemnation. Jesus died on the cross, and before he died, the sins of the whole world, our sins, your sins and my sins, were laid upon Jesus. And at that moment, God the Father turned away and abandoned His Son because the sins of the world was upon Him. And He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And the wrath of God the Father was poured upon Jesus on the cross at Calvary. And He took all that wrath of God for you and me, so that we need not take that storm, that wrath of God upon ourselves. It is Jesus who has done that for us. And then finally He cried out, it is finished. Redemption work is completed because Jesus has completed His purpose on earth. He came down to earth for the precise purpose of taking this storm of life for you and me, so that we need not die, that through his death on the cross at Calvary, we have eternal life. Whoever who have believed in Jesus receive life everlasting, and we look forward to a life of everlasting joy in the presence of God with Jesus forever and ever. And he rose for us on the third day so that we need not experience death. And we too will also have the resurrected bodies and the glorified bodies that is promised to every disciple of Jesus. Now perhaps some of us may not have trusted in Jesus this morning. Well, you may ask the question, how can I be saved? Well, if you're not saved, may I urge you to come to Jesus today, because you do not know when the next storm of life will come and whether or not you will still have opportunity to believe in Jesus. You may think, well, I'm still young, I still have many more years. Well, don't be so sure. Just like the young children on the ferry seawall, many of them died. They thought they were having the happiest days of their life, traveling to Jeju Island with their classmates and their best friends. Not one of them ever thought that would be the final day of their lives. And many of them were crying on the phones, talking to their parents, so scared that they may never come out alive. And for some of us, I don't know, God has a different plan for all of us. We know accidents happen. We know plane crashes happen. We know shipwrecks happen. We know any of us could be struck by COVID. Any of us can be struck by a mystery illness or a germ that has not yet been discovered. Any of us can be taken home or can die any moment. It is only by the grace of God. And therefore, I plead with some of us who have still not trusted in Jesus, may today be the day of salvation, right? And you may ask, how can I be saved? Firstly, admit that I'm a sinner who is in great need of salvation. You know that you need salvation. You know that you need a Savior. Because of your sin, you are separated from God. You need to know this Savior, this Jesus, this God who has created you. And you know that you are lost, that apart from salvation, you know that you will languish in hell and condemnation forever. You need a Savior. And you humbly come to Jesus to believe that only Jesus can save you, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Creator of heavens and the earth, that he is the Savior that God has sent into this world to redeem us from our sins, that he alone can save us. And he has come precisely for this purpose of saving us from the storms, the greatest storm of life, and that is death and damnation and hell. And you commit yourselves to forsake your sin and follow Jesus and the Word of God all the days of your life. And if you have truly believed in Jesus, then you are born again. And if you pray to Jesus that you will commit to him and follow him all the days of your life, you're born again. You are a new person in Christ. And when you're a new person in Christ, you have a new abundant life by following Jesus and growing in Christ all the days of your life. Now, many years ago, in 1967, there was this young lady called Joni. Right? She was just 17 years old in the university, having the best time of her life, partying, having friends. She was a Christian, but not a very strong Christian. And one day, she decided to go to the bay, and she dived into the bay, misjudging the shallowness or the depth of the bay. She struck her head against a rock, and she broke her neck and her spine, and she became quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down. And from that moment, her world just turned upside down. From a moment when she was having the best time of her life and the dream of a great future for a young person, she was looking forward to marriage, she was looking forward to falling in love, she was looking forward to working, in the corporate world, having a great time, marriage, having children of her own, to shattered dreams, lying on a hospital bed, being told bad news that she's never going to have a normal life again. She's never going to have to regain her legs, her movement. She's not ever going to be able to dive into the sea and swim, to live an active life like she used to be, that she used to have. And then came many months, many years of rehabilitation, many years also of depression, and crying out to God, why? Lord, why me? Why has this happened? Why this terrible thing has happened to me? Lord, why did you choose me? Why are you so unfair to me? You gave my friends a better life than me. Now I'm having this problem. God, why did you not save me? And then through the years, through ministry, by her pastor, from brothers and sisters who came to visit her and prayed with her and study the word with her, she realized that it was the storm of life that God has sent into her life to bring her back to God, because she had backslided. In fact, she wrote in a book her testimony of how God brought her back from this state of backsliding. She was running away from God. She wanted to live the life of the worldly people, like the non-Christians. She was running away from God. She did not want to serve God. And God had to send this storm into her life to bring her back to God, to cure her of her worldliness and her backsliding. And then while she battled suicidal thoughts and depression, she was waiting upon the Lord. And God helped her improve her physical condition bit by bit. And she started gaining confidence. She started learning to use her mouth with a stick to paint and also to work the computer, to be able to type, to be able to express herself. And she realized that it's not so bad after all, that she is able still to communicate. She's able to live a life that God wants her to live. And that is a new, abundant life. It was only after this storm of her life that she realized that she is really living the abundant life that God wants her to live. She is really serving God and growing in Christ day by day. And she started using her ministry. She started called Joni and Friends. Now, I don't necessarily agree with everything that Joni preaches or teaches on a website, so don't take this as an endorsement, my endorsement or this church endorsement of a doctrine or theology. But I share this story to encourage you and to explain to you that God does send sickness, problems in our life and trials in our life to bring us back to Himself. And she learned, right, through her testimony and through this storm of life, she wrote a testimony and she wrote this book that touched many lives. And when I was a young believer, I read the testimony and I was blessed. I was blessed and I was touched that God does send the storms in our life in order to change us, in order to bring us back to Himself. And this was her life ministry. This is her service to God. She became a radio talk host, a painter, an author. She starts selling her paintings, a musician, and also an evangelist for Christ. All right, so I do not know whether you are in a storm of life right now, but Psalm 23 is a psalm that I always read and encourage myself, because this psalm speaks of the storms that we will go through. What is the biggest storm that we will have to go through, even as a Christian? Sickness and death, right? And the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A shepherd who takes care of the sheep. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. He laid down His life for the sheep, and He will take care of all of us. And because He is our shepherd, He will provide for the sheep. Therefore, we will not need or we will not lack anything. That's what it means by "I shall not want." He makes me lie down in green pastures beside the still waters, and even through the storms of life, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid because you are with me. Right? God is not only our provider, He is also our protector. He is also present with us. As we go through the storms of life, He is with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. Even right through the gates of death, the gates of heaven, Jesus will deliver us safely through. Day by day, through our storms of life, we know that we can walk with Jesus. And that is why I've chosen this closing hymn. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Over life's tempestuous sea, unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from Thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Perhaps we are going through the storms of life. You're hearing all these noises in your soul and around you. Different people are giving you different advice, and you are troubled because of all these problems. The boisterous waves lapping your boat, and you are so confused. Well, you can say to the waves, be still, because Jesus is the pilot of your boat. You can trust in Jesus, who can continue to help you to weather the storms of life. And it was Pastor Edward Hopper who wrote this hymn for his congregation. Many of them were seamen. Many of them were sailors. And so he wrote this hymn to encourage them as they go on their sea journeys. Yes, sometimes the sailors may be fearful for their lives because of the rough seas. But they know that even as they go through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus will be with them. And when Jesus is with them, they can experience the peace and calm because we are the children of God. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word that is truth. We thank you that you are our Lord, the Lord of creation, who can calm the storms of our life. And today we come humbly to you, acknowledging that our souls are noisy, that we are troubled by many things in our life, that we are faced with many trials and problems in our lives, that some of us are struggling with depression, some of us are struggling with sickness, some of us are struggling with relationship problems and breakdown in relationships. Lord, you know our heartaches. You know the pain that we are experiencing. You know the storms, the waves that are constantly coming at us. Wave after wave of bad news. Wave after wave of trials and problems. That there are times when we feel we cannot take it anymore. But Lord, we thank you that you are the God who will sustain us. That you are our shepherd who will take care of your sheep. Lord, you know that we are timid sheep, that we are often very afraid and fearful of the storms of life. But we know today from your word that we ought not to be afraid, that we can exercise faith in you because we know that you are walking with us. As you have said in your word, that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And that when we are weak, we can be strong, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Lord, may you help us. May you help all of us to trust in you as we go through the storms of life, to walk with you, to know that you are with us, that you will strengthen us and you will help us. And for some who have not trusted in Jesus, we pray that today may be the day of salvation, that today they may come and they may be born again, that they may believe in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.